We're back here at the Slider House. Great to have you with us on this edition of Hockey Sense. I'm Andy Strickland. John Kelly's also in the house from Fox Sports Midwest as he joins me on this edition of Hockey Sense, brought to you by MTC Truck Driver Training. The expansion draft will start at the top of the hour. People forget there's an NHL draft taking place this weekend. This guy hasn't forgotten. Billy Armstrong, you'd never forget that, right?
No, I'd never forget that. It's always a big day, but yes, it's happening. It's going to be interesting to see what happens with the expansion draft and all the other stuff.
I hope you're doing well, man. Thanks for doing this. And, you know, it's interesting. You put in so much work, Billy, over the course of the season to scout amateur players. You go, you know, you cover the entire globe tracking all these prospects and trying to find the next star in the National Hockey League. And it comes down to these 2 days coming up this weekend. This truly is your Super Bowl, isn't it?
It is. You know, it's especially the staff, the amount of research and background and, you know, with all the effort they give traveling and, you know, to put it all together. It's a huge, huge weekend for us. It is our Super Bowl. To some people, probably might look boring when you get into the fifth or sixth, seventh round, but for us, it's exactly where we want to be. And, you know, you can make a big difference in the organization if you can make the right pick at the right time.
Billy, can you explain the adrenaline rush you get when you're on the clock? When they say St. Louis Blues, you're on the clock. Can you take us inside the draft table, exactly what's going on and what that feeling is like for you?
Well, it's like jumping out of a plane about 1,000 times in an hour. It's incredibly exciting. I mean, there's a lot of pandemonium. You know, obviously there's a lot of chat with people about, you know, what's going on at that particular time with, you know, trades, and everybody's in your ear, you know, step up for this guy. There's a lot of different things that go on in that moment, you know. But at the same time, you also come to the conclusion at a certain time about, hey, we're going to get this guy. And it's a great feeling to be prepared and select a guy. Because, you know, in your heart, you've done the background. You know, you've done the psych testing. You've done the strength training on him. And you just feel that goodness in your heart. And it's an opportunity to pick a player that can have a huge impact on your organization.
Bill Armstrong is with us, the Director of Amateur Scouting for the St. Louis Blues. How often do you look at some of the mock drafts that are out there, Billy, with some of these different publications? And you don't have to name which one is more accurate than the other, but how often do you peek at these, and do you pay attention to these throughout the year?
Well, I think it's, you know, we do. We look at the mock draft and, you know, have a good laugh at times. There are some that are semi-accurate, but, you know, it's, you know, you always have a peek at them, or a crack at, you know, to look at them and see where they've got guys and that thing. But most times, you know, you're just so consumed with your list that they don't really play a factor, because you never know where they get their information. You know, and a lot of times, you know, with the mock draft at this point in the season, there's a lot of copycats. You know, they might take one or two guys different, but for the most, they're mostly the same. So, but we do take a look at them and sometimes get a good laugh.
Bill, John Kelly here. What's your game plan going into the draft? Do you just have a bunch of guys circled, or do you have to be flexible in case, you know, the guys you want are gone at the time you want to pick?
Well, there is some flexibility with the way we create our list, whether it's a goaltender or a skilled forward. Or, like, for example, if we've taken, you know, two or three skilled guys before, you know, we might be looking for a D-man at that point in time. But, you know, we have our set ways that we do it. And over the years, we've had the same group together. You know, so we obviously want to draft the best player at that particular time that we're selecting. You know, and I think we've had an experienced staff, you know, with the guys like Larry Plow and Dan Janelle and Tony Feltrin, and the experience that we have also with Doug running it. You know, we get to the point where we don't put guys on our list at times because, you know, the old saying is, oh, he'll never be there, and then all of a sudden he's there, and you have to select him. So I think that we probably do a good job of making sure that we do our homework on players, and if they're red flagged, that we get them out of that point so we don't have to take them if they pop up on our list.
You know, Bill, you've had years where you didn't have a first-round pick. You've had one the last couple of years, and, of course, you've got Robbie Fabry and Tage Thompson, who, you know, both look like they're going to have long NHL careers. You have a couple of first-round picks coming up this weekend. How different is that going to be for you and your staff to have multiple first-round picks, just in terms of the flexibility it's going to give you?
Well, it's interesting. You know, you come into the meeting rooms here, and, you know, when you don't have a first-round pick, you know, your staff kind of, they don't maybe not have as much hop in their step, you know, and they're coming in there in the door. They're all jumping up and down, and, you know, it's just excitement because, you know, we're going to get to select two really good players in the first round. So, obviously, you're excited about doing that. I mean, there's, you know, there's some really good players where we're selecting in the first round. So there's some excitement and some buzz on our staff and in our organization just about who we're going to get. So it's an exciting time for us. You know, there's a it's a whole, you know, year's worth of work that's coming down to basically 2 days. So it's an exciting time.
When you get a Colton Parayko in the third round, does that feel just as good as when you hit on a first rounder, Billy? And listen, when you made that selection a couple years back, and we've seen what, you know, Colton Parayko has turned into, and I'm sure you love it every time it's brought up that, you know, he's a former third round pick, because it makes everybody in the organization look pretty smart. Did you feel like you had a really good player, Billy, or was it a situation where you just didn't really know, and all of a sudden he's involved in who he is today?
Well, those are always huge picks when you look back on your organization and the impact that he's had and what he's going to have in the future. You know, and that's your scout. It's, those are your scouts that are pounding the table, you know, saying, I want this guy, I want that guy. And that was in the case. We had some various scouts with Jay Nemec and Danny Janelle and some of the other guys really stamping their hand on the table and saying, hey, this guy's going to be a player. So, you know, it was their hard-fought effort and a lot of other, you know, guys and staff going in to see him. And it's always a great moment because you look back, he is such an impact player for us. And he's going to give us a chance to win a cup one day. And those are the picks that you live for as a scout.
Billy, how good is this draft? We've heard a lot of so-called experts say it's not as good. I know there's not a generational player at the top of the draft. And the second part of this question is there a certain type of player, whether it's a forward, defenseman, goalie, where there's a lot, or is there a lot from a certain country or region?
There's more forwards in this draft, particularly. You know, and there's cliffs at certain times in any draft where just the talent level just drops off, you know. You know, so everybody says it's a weak draft, but, you know, we kind of don't allow our scouts inside our organization to kind of talk that way. We're always under the, you know, the impression that there's players out there, even in the weak drafts. You know, you get a break or somebody that and everybody says, oh, there's no players there. There's players there. So we kind of don't think along those theories. We kind of try to make sure that we're still all hungry, and, you know, everybody talks about, oh, there's nothing there. We're going to find some players, and we're going to put the best list together possible. So it's important that, you know, we have the right attitude with it. And, you know, this particular year, everyone's saying it's maybe not as strong as the past years, but there's players there, and there's players that will have impact in the NHL.
Since I know you don't have the first overall pick, I'm going to ask you about Nolan Patrick, who's expected to go first overall. Although you have the Hersier kid, you know, who could sneak up and end up going first overall. It's going to be those, you know, those two guys that are going to be one and two most likely. Can you tell us anything about those guys, Billy, just in terms of what they bring to the table and the type of players they can be once they graduate to the National Hockey League?
Well, it's interesting. Obviously, I work for the Blues, so I can't get too into depth about what both those players do, but obviously they're one and two, and they're really good players. It's interesting, one of them's been hurt all year with Patrick, so there's a lot of teams probably scrambling, a couple teams up top scrambling to kind of understand him, and it's a little different draft in the sense that, you know, it's, you know, with the one guy being injured, you know, most teams don't have a lot of viewings on him, so they're both really good players. They're both, you know, teams are going to be drooling over those guys. It's going to be a big day for New Jersey and Philly to get those type of quality players up top. You know, I think people want, you know, the McDavids and the Matthews, and sometimes in the draft you're picking one or two. They're not always available. So, you know, how good these guys turn out to be, you know, who knows? The sky's the limit, but I'm sure people are probably going to be waiting around to see if they turn into Matthews and McDavid. So you never know. They might end up being that good.
All right, a few more minutes with Bill Armstrong, the director of amateur scouting for the Blues. Of course, the draft coming up this weekend in Chicago. Billy, how many rinks have you been in over the course of the last year? How many countries? How many miles have you put on that card?
You know, they asked me one time, they said, well, how many nights do you spend in the hotel, you know? And I never thought about it. I went back and checked, and it was 264 nights in the hotel. So there are a lot of nights on the road in a lot of different countries. It's almost a blur at this point, you know. I, you know, I'll get some time to reflect when in a couple of weeks on vacation time. But it's still a little bit of a blur because it goes, you know, meetings, combines, and, you know, then you're into the draft here, and there's more interviews and there's more list work. So it's kind of a blur. I think you get in the summer and you start thinking about all the great places that you got to visit over the course of the year and how many different rinks you're in. It's pretty exciting to be a scout. And, you know, Larry Plough was at dinner the other night, and that was the one thing that he wished he had kind of kept was track of everywhere he's been in the world with the game of hockey. So that is one great thing about our job is we do get to see the world.
Billy, as we know, a year ago, five St. Louisans were picked in the first round. Number one, in hindsight, how incredible was that? And are any St. Louis kids on the radar this year?
There's not as many. I think Luke Martin might be the only guy that's floating around. There might be one other guy, other player. But the St. Louis youth hockey with Al McGinnis and as far back as Basil McRae, you know, Keith Tkachuk and Rob Ramage and all those guys have done an amazing job over the years with the organization and bringing their experience and wealth and knowledge to it. And you see kids come out of there. It's amazing. And obviously, last year was unprecedented with how many players from St. Louis area that were picked in the NHL draft. And I believe that's going to continue to happen. So many good hockey alumni from the Blues that have stuck around to coach and be involved. And it's just it's been remarkable how many kids have played out of St. Louis, and it's going to continue that way along with a lot of the other alumni that help out in the youth hockey.
Yeah, before we let you go, Billy, I know you know, prospect camp is going to take place right after the draft, so we'll have a chance to see Jordan Kyrou and a bunch of guys that you've drafted over the course of the last few years. Jake Wallman is a guy who's going to have a good chance to be in the National Hockey League. I want to start with him in terms of how he's developed at Providence and what kind of player you think he'll transition to be as an NHLer.
Well, Jake Wallman has come a long way, obviously, since we've drafted. Won a national championship. He's got his feet wet in pro hockey by going down to the American League in Chicago. And, you know, he scored some big goals down there and made a great impact, jumping late into the season. You know, obviously he's got still some room to grow with some strength and, you know, being consistent at the pro level. But what he does bring is an ability to play as a top four NHL defenseman in all areas. He can eat a ton of minutes up there. And the one great thing about him is his shot. He's got a bullet of a shot. He's a threat to score back there from the point. He's got great hockey sense and his ability to move the puck. So he has the ability to play top 4 minutes in the NHL. Obviously, he's still got some development and some thing to do in the American League, but he's come a long way, and he's certainly helped himself with getting down to the American League at the end of the year and playing some games.
And one other kid. I mean, Jordan Kyrou obviously has speed, and we've talked about him in the past, but Samuel Blaze is a guy who you drafted in the sixth round, who scores 26 goals, I think, last year in his rookie season in the American Hockey League, which is not easy to do. I mean, a lot of guys can't score 20 or 15, let alone 26 as a 20-year-old. Tell us about this guy, Billy. I mean, should fans truly start following this kid and be excited about his potential?
Well, they should. He's an improver. I got to be honest. He might have been one of the worst players that's in Traverse City that we've had. You know, And you got to understand, he played midget hockey the year before, and next thing you know, he's thrust into the Traverse City. If you've ever been there, it's an intense experience, you know. And there's some older guys. There's some college guys that have come out. There's some American League guys that are playing in there, and it's a hard camp. And here's this young French kid, you know, he's about 170 pounds, and he's looking around when he played midget hockey last year, and he was way over his head, and he went back to his junior team, and he started working out and getting his conditioning, and next thing you know, he's just taking off from that, and he had a great year in the American League, and he's somebody that, you know, you got to love the fact that he's gotten better and better and better. He has always had the instinct, skill level. He thinks the game at a very high level. Now he's added some size and strength to itself. He's somebody that's got some potential, and we're excited about. He's going to need some more seasoning, but he'll certainly get his exhibition games and have a chance to, you know, to show himself in camp. So he's somebody the fans we'll get a small glimpse of probably at some point in time in the exhibition season.
All right, Billy. Hey, listen, best of luck. Enjoy it as always, and look forward to seeing you in Chicago. And if you want to slip us a little advance notice of who you're going to take or if you're going to make a trade, you can always text me, Billy.
I appreciate it.
They don't call
that.
Them scoops for nothing, Billy.
I'll put that on my top 10 things to do, all right?
Hey, have fun at the draft table, man. Looking forward to seeing you and some of the prize prospects you're going to find in the draft. We'll talk in a few days.
Okay, sounds good. Take care, guys.
All right, good luck, Bill.
You got it. That's Billy Armstrong. Again, two first-round picks, and he's done a hell of a job, Billy. John. I mean, he just mentioned a sixth-round pick in Samuel Blaze, who probably won't make the team this year. But Colton Parayko was a third-round pick, and people rave about Jake Walman, another former third-rounder, in the same breath that they do Colton Parayko. Like, he has that type of potential. Maybe not the same size, but the same ability. And Jordan Kyrou, who's going to be a good player, who was a second-round pick. I mean, even Robbie Fabry was 21st overall. It's not like he was a top-10 pick. I mean, it's not like the Blues have had top-10 picks year after year, but they seem to find a bunch of players who are not just playing in the National Hockey League, but impact players in the NHL.
Well, really, Andy, except for Pietrangelo and Eric Johnson, who, mm-hmm. of course, was traded years ago, they haven't picked in the top 10.
No.
Another player that really has really come off the radar in a way is Ivan Barbashev, a kid who did not have a good camp
last year.
Second-round pick a couple of years ago. And we were thinking for a while, this kid's not going to make it. And I'll tell you what, of all the young players that have come up the last few years, and obviously the Fabrys and the Pietrangelos, they're blue-chip prospects, but this kid, Barbashev, to me, has the potential to be a really good player. He's a good kid. He's smart.
Yep.
He's tough. Again, a second-round pick off the radar, and there's an example of why, as Billy said, the later rounds, you got to pay attention, and you can get some gems.
No, I agree. And Zach Sanford is a guy who Bernie Federica will tell you he's a third-round pick, even though he went with the second. I think he went, he was like 62nd overall or something like that.
But he's another good player.
And he was drafted by Washington. But still, again, you can find good players, you know, in the second round and below. And the Blues have been doing that for a while. I asked Mike Yeo today, I said, who really is going to benefit with David Perron moving on, you know, in terms of having an opportunity here? And three players, I mean, he said obviously that's what training camp is for, but he mentioned Zach Sanford and Dmitry Yaskin. Those are the two guys that are going to be able to compete for some of that ice time. Barbashev is also another one of those guys, but he's probably more of a center as opposed to a wing. So they probably have a little more depth, to be honest with you, than people may realize.
Hey, Barbashev was the Blues' number one center until Game 5 in Minnesota. And they won the series. I mean, here's a young kid that wasn't even in the league until, what, February?
Mm-hmm.
And he's the number one center on your team in the first four games against a really good Minnesota team.
Yeah, all right, no question about it. All right, Anthem Blue Cross and Blue Shield. Check them out online, anthem.com, or call your broker today. Anthem Blue Cross and Blue Shield, they do amazing things here in the St. Louis area. I mean, what they do from a charity standpoint is incredible. Their ability to raise millions and millions of dollars and give back millions of dollars into the city of St. Louis is very impressive. Find out for yourself why over 90% of doctors and hospitals are in-network with Anthem Blue Cross and Blue Shield. Again, call your broker or check them out online at anthem.com. Dr. Lehman, I don't know why I forgot your name there all of a sudden. I had somebody else. He knows all about Anthem Blue Cross and Blue Shield as well. I'm sure plenty of people are showing their Anthem Blue Cross and Blue Shield insurance card at the U.S. Center for Sports Medicine. Dr. Richard Lehman, how could I forget? Sports medicine comes your way in the 7 o'clock hour here on 590 The Fan KFNS. I can promise you that'll never happen again. We got to take a break. It's probably a perfect time for one. We're live at the Slider House. This is Hockey Sense. It's brought to you by MTC Truck Driver Training. Of course, also Gateway Buick GMC at the corner of I-270 and McDonald Boulevard. We're live in 590 The Fan KFNS at the Slider House. Don't go anywhere.